Sister Doris Kelly, as you know, was born September 18th, 1932, and she died Monday, December 20th at 6:30 p.m. Just this past Monday. She was strong in her life, and though she wanted to be with the Lord very quickly, her body was strong enough that she stuck around for a while. And the reading of the obituary, Doris Joan Kelly, Nee Stike, went home to her eternal home in heaven December 21st, 2021. Doris was born in a cabin in the Inilchik village on September 18th, 1932, and she lived her whole life in Inilchik. She moved into her present home on December 7th, 1948, and it has been her lifetime residence. A member since its founding of Calvary Baptist Church in Inilchik, Doris loved the Lord and had deep faith in God and His Word. Amen to that. The flowers that bloomed so beautifully in front of the church were just one of the many things she did to make the world a more beautiful place. Doris spent hours and hours developing the flower beds in front of her house and on the hillside beside it. Tourists would stop by to see the beauty that was the result of Doris's efforts. Her son-in-law, among others, often nursed the sore back as the result of hauling rocks that she used for those flower beds. But it was always worth the labor because of the love that everyone felt by being around Doris. Another thing that will be sorely missed will be her singing. She never held back when it came to the hymns at the church, and she truly loved the services and her church. Amen to that. There are many quilts that serve as testimonials to the love Doris had for others, as you can see, and as many of you are sitting upon. And most of the folks in the church received a quilt from Doris, or many quilts, every Christmas from Doris, and her handiwork was sent all over the world. There are young ladies in Kenya mourning Doris's passing and remembering her through a quilt. Members of the military and several college students also will remember Doris because of her generosity and labor of love. Doris is preceded in death by her husband of 61 years, Carl, her son Clifford, and her daughters Gail and Margaret. Doris is survived by her son Carl, her daughter Connie, and her son-in-law, John Judson, as well as 14 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren, and numerous great-great-grandchildren. One of the first things that Doris confessed to me is she says, I never really cared about being a mother, but I've always wanted to be a grandmother, and she was a great-great-grandmother, great exponentially. Services will be held, as they are being held right now, Calvary Baptist Church in Inilchik, and she will be interred at the cemetery in Inilchik. And in lieu of flowers, the family asks that donations be made to Calvary Baptist Church. A life well lived for one and one alone, Jesus Christ, your Lord. With this, Brother Mike is going to lead us in another congregational hymn, hymn 507 in your hymnals, In the Garden. Brother Mike? Thank you, sister. I'm opening to a passage of Scripture that I thought appropriate for the occasion, and I believe it's one Sister Doris would have liked. I'm only going to read two verses and expound upon them. And it's from Psalm 16 and verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or in the Old King James Version, hell, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. For from this 11-verse psalm, And this very last verse, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. This is what was in the twinkle of the eye of this woman, so very small of stature, but strong in spirit. This was the goal of her life. Anyone who knows her knows that this is the truth, that Jesus of Nazareth was her reward. And this is what she was looking forward to. And having lived the full life, 89 plus years, she is in the presence of the Lord. She's not concerned, really, if you could say it that way, with any one of you, because she's beholding the face of her master, and this was her joy, to be with him, stepping out of this time frame into eternity to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. Her great joy was to see him, and even the thought of him as she meditated upon the scriptures, which she read daily from Bibles that were scattered here and there all around her house, and listening to hymns and singing, as was testified, the beautiful voice of this woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Because many years ago, before this was even called Calvary Baptist Church, as Brother Lauren Lehman had testified, that she was in the village, and a missionary lady named Pauline Smith had come and would tell stories of this Jesus, this Jew from Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem, who was God who became man. That she heard that from the beginning of this story, that there was a fellow named Adam who God had created, the first man. And having disobeyed God, he threw the entire human race into a curse of sickness and death. She heard that story and she listened intently and even wondered what that curse was. That God is a holy God, and as the Holy Spirit is ministering unto this young girl, understanding that God is a holy God and that his holy anger for disobedience to him was cast down upon the whole human race, and that in the end there would be suffering unimaginable. She didn't want to go to the place that had that suffering. And when she heard of the only hope to escape that suffering, that God himself would become a man and live the righteous life that you and I can't live, because Adam and his descendants from Seth to Enosh, going all the way to Noah, then a worldwide flood, and still with his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and that moved on to where we are today, that man is so sinful that it took nothing less for God to become a man. So now, as fully God and as fully man, that he walked the righteous life that you and I can't, which pleased God the Father of this triune God, walked as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And in doing so, through a life of 33 and a half years, through a 3.5 year ministry, showing himself to the world, he went to the cross of all things and suffered God's wrath when he hung upon the cross. That religious leaders of that day were so jealous of their positions that they didn't even recognize the scriptures that spoke of this Jesus of Nazareth to come. So they fawned and finagled, and they took their figgy jealousy and sent him to be crucified. But this was God's plan, but from before he said, let there be light. And so Christ hanging upon the cross, and because he is fully God and fully man, he suffered as a man. He was beaten beyond human recognition, so that at his weakest point, suffering God's holy anger spiritually for 3 hours upon the cross, with darkness all around him, suffering for a debt he did not owe, for a debt that you and I owe and cannot possibly pay, that God says that if you believe in that and trust in his righteous life and trust in his righteous sacrifice, that you would be saved. And this is the gospel that Doris heard. And this is the gospel that was Doris's delight. And this is the gospel that says she is not going to suffer that wrath because Jesus paid that debt that she owed. And she loved that gospel, couldn't understand many parts of it for many years, even to her 89th birthday. She says, how did God do such a thing? To live that life and then to be sacrificed and then taking my sins upon him as if they were his, never once saying, you know, we have the scriptures that say that Christ was silent before his accusers. And the reason he was silent in the Old Testament and in the New testifying of what he had done and what he didn't do by crying out, well, those sins aren't mine. He never did that. He was silent before his accusers because he was taking those sins as if they were his, though he was sinless. And Doris, Sister Doris, understood that. And together we look at it and we even chuckle with ourselves. How could God do such a thing? It's remarkable. It's unbelievable. But we believe it. Amen. And she believed that. That's what she believed then and all through those years since the Lord had saved her. That's what she continued to believe. She baked cookies believing that for her grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. Man, that woman was a baker, wasn't she? I don't eat cookies, but Sister Vicky's peanut butter cookies I'll eat. Sister Doris's cookies I'll eat. Don't want to offend those two widows. And love them. And I do. I love those cookies that Sister Doris would bake. And that was that gospel that she believed. There's a passage in Psalm 16, it says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. That is another way of saying what Psalm 75, verses 26 and 27, 25 and 26 say. That whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that's what kept Doris going. That the truth of that gospel, no longer having to think of the wrath that she would suffer, but she did think of that quite often, of her children, of her grandchildren, of her great-grandchildren, of her great-great-grandchildren, that she didn't want a single one of them to suffer that fate. And this is why she shared the gospel with you, wasn't it, sister? She wanted you to be with her in that place that we just sang about. How beautiful heaven must be. You know why that was a beautiful hymn to her? Because she understood this truth, that heaven isn't just a better place. Heaven is heavenly because of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this was the goal, because so many times we get to thinking of ourselves rather than God, because the reason why it's such a curse to be disobedient with God, because the greatest blessing in the world is to have God in your corner, amen, to have God on your side, to have God in your presence. And that's another truth that Sister Doris continued to live by and continued to proclaim in the simplest thing, in the song that she would sing. As I know that many of you who have been in her house when she was baking for you, that she would be singing those songs, and that those are those truths that she took with her. There is a day now, because Christ rose, that when he suffered that wrath of God and he died a death, He actually died bodily, and he was in the ground for 3 days and three nights, and he rose again. Before he was even taken from that tree that he hung upon, his side was pierced, and blood and water came out, signifying that he was dead. And 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the dead. And that's what verse 10 is about. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to let your Holy One see corruption. And the Lord Jesus' body didn't decay and corrupt, whereas our bodies are decaying and corrupting, because that's evidence, because Sister Doris isn't sitting here right now with us. Her body will decay and corrupt. It was decaying and corrupting. She had those fractures in her pelvis that couldn't be seen until the MRI CT scan showed them. And she wasn't as mobile as she once was, as she likes to get around. She was mobile right up until she got sick. And she was, I heard a testimony of generosity. I think it was Brother Lauren there. She was so generous that she practically adopted my wife as her very own. And my wife, Lisa, adopted Doris as her very own mom. And she had the privilege to be able to serve both Doris and Connie, to be there until Connie could get up here and take care of Sister Doris. Basically, I was a bachelor for close to a week. And whatever Doris and my wife wanted, that's what I did. And it was a privilege, too. And same thing for Pastor John and Sister Connie and the entire family. Whatever you folks want, that's what I'll do, because that's how special Doris is. That's how special her Lord is. And though she will be interred in the ground, and though it will decay, there's a day coming, which also Doris was looking forward to, a day when the dead in Christ shall rise, and this corruptible puts on incorruption. Death and sickness, there are people that can't be here today because people are sick with the flu or COVID or whatever it is. Those are just evidences that the world was thrown into chaos by disobedience unto a holy and a good and a loving God and Savior. But sending Jesus Christ is what it's all about. And Doris would know, she wouldn't have to tell me this, and she wouldn't have to tell Pastor John this either, that she wouldn't want to be preached. She'd want her Savior preached. And this message, and also what Brother John will mention at the graveside, and even with closing comments here, will be that truth. The blessed and best way, and the best and blessed way to honor Doris is to preach of the Savior in whom she trusted to the very end, whose presence that she's in, and one day will be raised incorruptible and putting on incorruption, because she longed to see her Savior first of all. Let's pray. Our most blessed and gracious Father and God, in Jesus' name and for His sake, we thank You, Lord, for the testimony of that life there. But there are so many testimonies of her life, Heavenly Father. May the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy, as Revelation 19 and verse 10 tells us, may that be a blessed plaque of honor each time we think of Doris. May every thought of her bring us a blessed thought of her Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In His name and for His sake we do pray. Amen.